policy, which is informally known as the restaurant rule. If you are seated and stationary and at least 6 feet from someone else, you do not need to wear your mask. However, you may choose to wear your mask. If you move around or come up to the podium, please wear your mask. When at the podium, you may remove your mask to speak. You should put your mask back on to return to your seat.
Thank you. Our first case of old business this evening is case number 12,448. Steve Joseph Baer Jr. seeks a special use exception to operate a rifle or pistol range, sections 115.23, 115.210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The board may remember this from the previous meeting of July 20th, and it was table to request further information from staff of DenRec, which has now been obtained, and those emails have been circulated to the board along with a memo dated August 10th, and they are included in the packet. Thank you.
Any discussion?
Just a comment, Madam Chair. I think we made a request, and the request was complied with the documentation that was received.
I think we were probably, may have been in error of asking for DenRec's guidelines and not EPA, because I think there are some EPA guidelines that they would probably need to adhere to. Or at least we could put that in there so that if there is, that we...
The board could condition any approval that the applicant comply with any federal, state, or other environmental regulations.
Correct.
That would encompass EPA, DenRec. I suspect that in some cases, in fact, I know in some cases, EPA has delegated some authority to DenRec. I don't know if any of the issues that the board may be concerned with fall within those DenRec's purview, but yeah, we could obviously condition any approval with that type of language.
Okay. Any other discussion?
He was going to use it for an hour each weeknight and then on the weekend, just Saturdays.
Do we have those hours?
Yeah, those hours.
That he said he was going to use it for? I think it was like 5:30 to 6:30. Is that part of the record before?
My recollection was that it was 5:30 to 6 and then 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday. I don't know if the applicant meant to limit it that much, but
that's what he said.
Certainly the board, can condition it on the hours and, could broaden that if you wished or keep it at that.
He have to come back every 5 years, Mr. Sharp?
Yes, this is a maximum.
Pleasure of the board. We didn't leave the record open, did we?
That's correct. It was left open only for the limited purpose of receiving the comments from DenRec.
So it was closed at that meeting just for that, or do we need to close it again?
No, it was left open only for that limited purpose, so the record is closed.
So I will entertain a motion.
I note that Mr. Corman has arrived, but I also recall that I think this was one that Mr. Corman was not at for the previous hearing, so.
Okay.
I don't know if Mr. Corman's had a chance to review the record on this one or not, so.
I will abstain.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve case number 12448 for Stephen Joseph Baird for the special use exemption, which has been requested. I don't believe that it will substantially affect or adversely the uses of the neighboring or adjacent properties, and would require or request compliance with all federal, state, and local guidelines for the operating of the facility.
for a period of 5 years.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for my reasons.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
And I too for the reason. So with a vote of 4-0, the application is approved. Next case.
Our next item of old business this evening is case number 12,443. Bay Shore Community Church seeks a special use exception to operate a daycare center and a variance from the maximum fence height requirements. Sections 115.23, 115.182, 115.185, and 115.210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. And the board may remember this from the hearings on July 6th of this year and again on August 3rd of this year, and the board required that the hearing be tabled and the record left open for the limited purpose of obtaining a site plan and photographs of the subject property and to be available to answer any questions at this evening's meeting. Those have been received and they've been circulated to the board along with a memo of August 10th. Thank you.
How big is that playground that they've got fenced in there?
Madam Chair, while Mr. Whitehouse is looking for that, I just note from my records that I believe this is one of those hearings that Dr. Carson and Mr. Corman came in late, were not present for. I don't know if they've had an opportunity to review the record and the testimony from that hearing or not.
I have not reviewed the record of August the 3rd.
I have not either.
All right, okay. So they'll have to abstain if there is a vote, unless the board wanted to table its decision until which time they could review that.
Madam Chair, I'm actually trying to find dimensions on the drawing.
There weren't any on the drawing. That's why I'm asking you what it is.
If I may, we did leave it open for the applicant to answer any questions the board may have. That was for the limited purpose of that. So I don't know if anybody here from the applicant is present to answer maybe that question that you may have, Madam Chair.
Is there anyone here representing Bay Shore Community Church? Please come forward and be sworn in.
Good evening, sir. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yes. Jeremy Ferruccio. Address is 8368 Hilda Drive, Salisbury, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
So I can confirm the dimensions of the space there. The main portion of it is 34 feet by 21 feet. It has a small little area alongside of the building that is 18 by 4 as well. So.
Okay, thank you.
Is it on the blacktop?
It is, pretty much. Very little of it will move into the grass area.
So where this lady is standing, and you got two dumpsters, it's one right there?
Yeah, those will be moved to a different location.
Okay.
Do you have any pictures? I remember when we last left off. Do you have any pictures of where you come out?
I submitted a few very scientific pictures of my wife standing.
That's right. I
roughly see where. Correct. The fence line would be, and we did that from both north or eastbound and westbound.
Any other questions from the applicant?
I gave the pictures and everything else though, so we can see how it's set up.
So the playground is going to be mostly on the blacktop?
Correct. It'll be resurfaced with like a rubberized playground material, which is Delacare has a specific code that's required for that, a certain depth. Certain type of material, so it'll be adhered to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Guess I do have a question of the applicant again, if you'd come forward. How many children would be out on that playground at any given time?
So I believe there's a very specific ratio per kids, and I don't have the exact number, but it's under 15 at a time. I do know that. I think the number was 12, but.
Okay. Thank you.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. The pictures where the girl is standing.
Yes.
Is that going to be the edge, because you had said that it was going to be in the grass a little bit? Is it, what, a couple feet?
It's about a foot off of the pavement on
okay, so
both the back sides and the road sides.
In the pictures, basically where she was standing.
Correct. She was standing right on that grass,
yes.
Right on the edge.
Okay.
Yep.
That's further from her than I thought it was going to be.
I remember last time when I think you asked me the question, it is quite a bit further than I actually mm-hmm. thought it was. So.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, we have not only the special use exception, but also the variance from the fence height. So we have two different parts of this application to consider.
Answering your earlier question. So the smaller building to the front I have is 18 by 60, which is 1,080 square feet, and the larger building has a total area of 9,600 square feet for the total area of the whole thing.
So the building, the L-shaped building is the 98?
Correct. And the smaller one is nearly 1,100, so 1,080 square mm-hmm. feet, based on the scale of this drawing.
Would you please come forward again? Is the building sprinkled? I know under 10,000 it doesn't have to be, but I'm just curious.
It is not. Yeah.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion.
Board, as Dr. Carson and Mr. Corman are not participating in this one, it does require three votes to approve any request.
And if, how would we proceed to ask for them to become familiar with the case?
What the board could do, if that was the board's pleasure, if you felt that the input of Dr. Carson and Mr. Corman was appropriate, is table the matter until the next board meeting, so that would afford Dr. Carson and Mr. Corman an opportunity to listen to the record. I believe they probably have all the materials, but actually listen to the testimony from the previous hearing.
That would be a good idea, but.
I can get that done.
Dr. Carson, are you okay with that? Are you in agreement to table it so that Mr. Corman and Dr. Carson could become?
For the next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, I move that we table case number 12443 for Bayshore Community Church till the next meeting for Dr. Carson. and Mr. Corman to review the case.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Corman, do they get a vote?
No, they don't get a vote on that.
All right, and I vote yes, so vote of 3-0, tabled till the next meeting, September 14th, so all five will be available to participate in the vote. No. Thank you. Next case.
Our next item of all business this evening is case number 12,453. Paul Antonio seeks variances from the front yard, rear yard, and corner front setback requirements for proposed structures. Sections 115.25, 115.182, and 115.183 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The board may remember this from the previous hearing on August 3rd, and the board requested that clarification be received through a survey. That survey has been received and circulated to the board. Staff now believe that the applicant requires a variance of just 3 feet from the 15-foot corner front setback for a proposed deck, HVAC, and the dwelling.
Wasn't it a small lot, though?
It's on a corner front, though. It's always 15 feet for a corner front. So.
Okay.
Less than 5,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer is yes.
Less than 10,000.
The small lot ordinance does not apply to front yard setbacks, including corner front. So if that had been a side yard, perhaps could have had the relief.
It just showed it on that drawing that it wasn't.
Madam Chair, do you recall this
one had been left open entirely, so we would actually hold a normal type hearing on this because we did not have all of the dimensions as to where the dwelling was going to be, so we didn't allow public comment at that time because we didn't know exactly what was needed. So now that we have that clarity, I think we can proceed with a normal public hearing.
Okay. Is the applicant with us? Would you like to come forward? Do you have anything else to add?
Yes.
Okay.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Hi, I'm Paul Antonio. My address is 1043 Bear Road, Newcastle, Delaware, 19720.
Okay. And I see a gentleman with you. Does he wish to talk at the same time as you, or?
Possibly.
Okay. Oh, well, we'll swear you in as well. That way, if you wish to speak, can you step up to the podium so we can catch you there, sir?
Yeah.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Joseph Day, 100 West 3rd Street, Newcastle, Delaware, 19720.
Okay. And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Antonio, do you as well?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So, good evening.
Good evening. So the only thing, can I, you asked me if I wanted to add something. So there was confusion last time. So now I have the new survey with the house on it. So I'm just asking for 3 feet on the left side for the house. And my builder asked me to ask for another half foot for a little leeway for when they build. So 3.5 feet total, if possible.
Mm. Is that possible, Mr. Whitehouse?
Yeah, the drawing shows 3 is required, but
I guess maybe they're afraid they'd set it wrong.
To allow margin of error, I wouldn't object to it personally.
Okay.
If I may, that perhaps it's a question for Mr. Day. Are you the contractor on this?
No.
Oh, you're not? Okay, sorry.
Anyone have any questions of the applicant?
The deck, is that raised?
Yes, sir, that would be on the top floor.
Top floor?
Yes.
Would there be any, would you be able to put those air conditioning units under that deck?
Yes, the blue that you see is the second floor, the air conditioning units are under that.
I'm talking about on the other side, on the dock side. Of the deck.
Yes,
Are you asking if we could relocate the air conditioners under the deck?
Under the deck.
On the dock side? He possibly could, but he still would need the variance because of the entranceway to the house.
Well, you don't show the stairway. So is your entryway to the house on that left side?
It's on the left side, yes, in front of the air condition.
But you don't show the stair steps in this drawing.
Did they go this way into the house, or did they go further out into?
No, they go straight in.
Straight in?
I do. I wouldn't need any more room for the stairs. They're within that setback. I do have a picture. If you guys would like to see.
You can submit it to Mr. Whitehouse, but you're not going to get it back.
Okay.
That picture.
So you have stairs on both decks?
No, sir. There's stairs on the left side of the house to enter the house.
Okay.
And I can submit this and.
Okay.
I don't know why I didn't put steps in. Are they the same that were in your old packet?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
There was a term you used for Garfield Avenue, just the part there that is. If you weren't looking at it, you would consider it going into lot 184. What was the term that you used? The
Paper Street?
Paper Street.
Or abandoned, maybe?
Yes.
I said.
Is there any way to check on anything like that?
So it doesn't go all the way around. See where it looks like somebody has an enclosed trailer there?
Yeah.
That would be the abandoned street.
Yes, and they actually made it part of their driveway. And I don't know if you have a picture there or not, but where that car is their driveway.
So the picture of the house that you wanted to build that you previously submitted was the Fenwick, and yes. It didn't have a deck. But now you're changing that?
No, it did have a deck on the back, yes.
But now you're going to come around the side with the deck?
Yes, also. Just equal to where the on the left side where the stairway is to go up, it doesn't go out any further. It just comes to the back of that
So your stairway, it comes, what, within a few feet of the front of the house?
Yes, I believe the house is 28 feet, and with the stairs, I believe I'm 33.
Okay. Any thoughts of making the back deck smaller and turning those steps sideways to go up to the back instead of on the side, and then putting the air conditioner units on the bottom?
The air conditioning units where exactly?
Under the deck, where it is. The gentleman who's the co-applicant with you, it has stated that you can fit those under the deck, making the deck smaller, turning the stairs sideways to go up for an access to the back rather than the side.
So I don't think we really went through that with the builder. This is a kind of a standard model that the builder offers. In doing that, it would severely alter the house inside. As you can see with the entry, you go up to the entry door, there's a foyer inside, and then above that foyer is used to make the U on the stairs go into the second floor. So doing that would really limit Paul inside the house and trying to redesign the house kind of completely.
So you have a entry door under the pilings. Is that correct? In the middle?
Yes.
Or is that a storage area?
There's a The storage area is right behind that.
Okay. But is there an inside, on the ground level, is there an inside staircase that goes up to?
There's steps that lead to the steps on the left side.
Okay.
But the steps to get upstairs are where the door is.
In this drawing
that extra on the left side is how you get upstairs.
From our last meeting, the drawing that I'm looking at.
Yes.
I think this will help you when you see this, but I got to ask a question for you.
Yeah.
These two steps, they're lining up with each other, aren't they? One set back farther than the other one, and more like to me, by your front elevation of it, they look like both steps are in line at the bottom.
Here, yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, you're not coming any farther.
Right.
Either one of the steps, the
right.
front step for the small door and the one
yes.
for the upstairs, they're all in line with each other, right straight across.
Yes.
That's what, yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
John, let me see it there.
I have others.
Yeah. So you're not coming in any farther with
no.
those, either one of those steps?
Right, correct.
Okay.
So I just have a few other things if the board doesn't mind. So as you can see, the terminus at Garfield Avenue was a hammerhead. It was really designated as a street required as a front yard setback, but the hammerhead design is really only used as a driveway and maybe very infrequently as a turnaround. The variance will not alter the character of the community at all. In fact, we believe that that there are quite a few other examples of similar conditions in the same neighborhood. The new house will obviously be elevated out of the floodplain. It'll also be a better fit for the community. Currently, it's a very small single-story house. All the houses around it are actually much larger, two stories up out of the floodplain. Paul does have some letters of support from surrounding neighbors. We know that the last time we were here that there was a couple neighbors that might have been opposed, but we believe they were opposed because the advertising stated that we wanted a front yard and a rear yard setback, and we're not asking for that. We're just asking for that side yard setback. The variance will not have any effect on the other properties, and improvements to this property will have a positive effect on the surrounding properties. The spirit and the intent of the zoning code will not be altered by granting this variance, and the exceptional practical difficulty was not created by this owner, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Why not?
Why wasn't it created by this owner? Well, obviously he hasn't built yet, but also the lot size with the street.
But the county has put in a small lot ordinance to allow for these types of situations, and you're still asking for a variance. So why can't you build in that envelope?
It would just restrict the size of the house that Paul wants to build to really become to the point where it doesn't make it economically feasible to do it.
3 feet wouldn't make it economically feasible?
Well, it already is obviously a very narrow lot, and then when you put that side yard where the front yard setback because of a street that really isn't there, it really does. And like I said, we do have a couple examples of other houses in this very same area that have received the same type of variance.
Okay.
What is
anybody
it?
Else have, oh, Mr. Workman?
It's a three-story house, right?
There's the ground level, first floor, and second floor.
Okay, so nothing, what's on the ground level? Nothing?
No, just the storage.
Storage.
And parking.
And so other two is for living in, right? Second and third stories for living.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And by, that'd make that much difference in your house by cutting that 3 foot off?
Yeah, yes, I wouldn't be able to, obviously I wouldn't be able to build this house.
All right, well, if no one else has any questions, let's proceed with the public hearing. If you'll take a seat, please. Or Mr. Sharp, did you have a question of the applicant?
The only thing that I wanted to know, I just want to check Mr. Whitehouse. It sounds to me like what we're needing is the 3 foot variance from the 15 foot corner for the deck, the HVAC, the dwelling, and steps.
Correct. Although the applicant, Mr. Sharp, has asked for 3.5 feet.
3.5 feet. Thank you for
that. That margin for error.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Madam Chair.
Is that both steps you're asking for, or is that one set?
One set.
One set. But the extra 0.5 feet was for margin of error with the AC units, okay. The HVAC.
Thank you. I apologize for the confusion last time.
You're fine.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may, Mr. Williamson asked a question of me a few minutes ago, and I've just been looking at Garfield Avenue. The question about whether Garfield Avenue is a paper street or not, and I note the adjoining lot has expanded their driveway into that area, but I don't agree that it's a paper street in that the pink lot line for parcel 184 includes that 55 feet of lot frontage, and the approved street for Garfield Avenue continues well past where the extent of hard surfacing is for the driveway. To actually make that into part of their driveway would actually require an amendment to Edgewater Acres subdivision, which actually introduces a degree of nonconformity and makes the lot even wider. So I don't agree, and I think that was the point that you were driving at, that is a paper street per se.
I will say this, Mr. Whitehouse. I've always understood a paper street to effectively be one that exists on paper but not in practice. Mm-hmm. So if a neighborhood has streets that are asphalt in nature and then there's an area that is designated street, and we see a lot with cul-de-sacs, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. There's paper cul-de-sac, but it doesn't actually exist. That's kind of what I've always looked at. So I can't really tell from that aerial how much is paved or not paved, but that's how I've always understood the term paper street.
I think too, with those vehicles parked there in that street, may make it hard for fire trucks to respond. Thank you. And you didn't have anything else, right?
I had nothing else.
Is there anyone here in favor of the application? Is there anyone here in opposition of the application? Operator?
If there's anyone on the call that is in favor of or in opposition of this application, please dial 5-star. Again, if there's anyone on this call that is in favor of or in opposition of this application, please dial 5-star.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of the board?
Is there any other variances in that neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. But let's see. Could we see that, Ms. Ann? Let's see that one, what's close to it. Front yard and side yard setback.
Madam Chair, this was a case from March of 2016, which is prior to the small lots ordinance. And a variance of 4.4 feet from the required 30 feet front yard setback requirement, and a variance of 0.8 from the 10 foot side yard setbacks requirement. So these are the 10 foot side yard setbacks.
So would they have needed a variance if the small lot was in place?
They would still need it for the front yard.
Correct.
But not the side.
Any others?
So again, Madam Chair, this was a case in May 2017, variances on the front yard and side yard setback. A variance of 4.9 feet from the 10-foot side yard setback requirement on the west side and 5.4 feet from the 10-foot side yard setback on the east side, and a variance of 3.6 feet from the 30-foot front yard setback. So there are examples of other variances for front and side. This was not a corner. So.
So based on that, Mr. Sharp, seeing the other variances, even with a small lot ordinance in place, there were some granted.
There appears to have been, yes.
Okay. Mr. Whitehouse.
From an IT perspective, Madam Chair, I just have an update for the board. Mr. Kilgore has made me aware that the conference number call-in number shown on the agenda may not be the accurate new updated number on my copy of the agenda for this evening, which would mean that members of the public wishing to call in may experience some difficulties calling in on that number. So,
and what number should they be calling in?
It should be 1 I can give you that number, Madam Chair, verbally, but because it has not been printed on the agenda. And I can get that number for you in just 2 seconds, but I'm looking to Mr. Sharp here for a direction on how to proceed in regard to the record.
Well, I want to see if the number that we have on our county website is correct or incorrect, so I would like to hear the number. And in that case, we will need to leave everything open and hear it next meeting. And I don't want that to happen again.
Understood. So the number, the consistent number would be 302-394-5036 with a conference code of 570176. And the conference number stated on the bottom of the agenda is 800-988-0494. With a passcode number of 1695792.
It's the number I have.
So.
Might I suggest that the one that is posted online, which is the one that the public would have known about, my suggestion would be that perhaps the board take a brief recess so that we could see if staff were to call that number, if that would come through. If that's not the case, then I think, Madam Chair, you're correct. We would likely need to leave. I think we could proceed with all the hearings tonight, but we would have to leave the record open. And at the next hearing, we would essentially ask if, you know, we would obviously anything could come in written in the interim, but it would allow for parties to, you know, we'd ask if anybody else wishes to speak on it and then close the record.
And a 5-minute recess would allow.
5-minute recess.
Busy.
Yeah.
My manager quit. So it's all back on me now.
Now, it's Mr. Sharp, who wants to go first?
I think I can take over on this one, Madam Chair. What we've discovered is that the phone number for the call-in on the agenda is not correct. So anyone who wished to speak telephonically would not be able to do so. The board has a couple of options of what we could do this evening. The first one would be we proceed as we have been. We just wouldn't be able to accept any phone calls. We would leave the record open on all the cases that are before us. Unfortunately, we haven't gone through any that at this point in time had any call-ins. This is the first one we've had. We could leave the record open at our next meeting. We would have those same cases back on the agenda. We would ask for anyone for or against, both present and online, to have a chance to chime in, at which time we could close the record and vote, table, decide however you wish to do. The negative on that is that if there was someone who was trying to listen to the proceedings online, that isn't available to them this evening. I note, though, that we do have those recordings. They'll probably be uploaded in the next day or two. They're fairly accessible on the board's website, so anyone who wished to see, geez, what was the testimony tonight, could go and listen to it online.
All right, well, let me stop you. Because when you go on the website, county website, the number is correct. When you pulled something up a while ago, it was correct. So what's
17.
All right. Well, that was not the number you pulled up before.
I hit the wrong date.
Okay. All right. Excuse me.
That's okay. And we've checked with IT, and that is a mistake in the printed agenda. So, you know, the other option would be the board could just not hear anything else on any applications and reschedule those for a later date. I do note that there's a fair amount of people here this evening, and I think the county hates to have people come back twice to Georgetown if they don't need to. But certainly, it's the board's pleasure on what you wish to do. Neither option is perfectly ideal, but at least if we were to have it where we go through the hearings tonight, we would at least get through the testimony. Anyone who wished to chime in would have a mechanism by which they could go and listen to it. If individuals at home who were perhaps trying on the phone had difficulty figuring out what was going on or accessing the website, staff has made it very clear they will work with those individuals to get them the audio to listen to prior to the next hearing. Well, hopefully there won't be many of those. We haven't had many that have called in, but we never know on these cases how many are listening and calling in.
So if somebody's listening now, could we broadcast the correct number and correct?
Well, we could, but the problem is we still would have to leave it open.
I understand.
So, we certainly could do that, and that's probably not a bad idea to get the correct information out there. But I'm afraid that somebody who's listening wouldn't be able to listen online. There wouldn't be the mechanism for them to hear this message anyhow. We could certainly try it, but it's not going to, we would still have to leave it open. It's not going to eliminate that concern.
So they can't watch the live stream and hear it?
The live stream is working perfectly, so we are broadcasting.
So they could be watching it.
I think what the governor's order required that there be the ability for some people to call in.
I understand that, to call in.
And those folks who may be a call in but maybe weren't on the live stream would not be in a position to hear the testimony.
Okay.
That's the concern.
So it is my opinion, and I'm just one of you, that we proceed with the public hearings and we leave it open for the sole discretion for call in callers.
Well, I think you could leave it open just for, you'd have to leave it open for whomever, because those individuals perhaps would want to show up. Maybe they'd call in. Maybe they'd want to submit written documents that they couldn't make it.
Do you have a motion?
That would also give them a month, because we don't meet again for a month.
That's correct. Yeah, a lot of time. It'd be September 14th is our next meeting.
I hope this never happens again.
I think we have applicants in the audience, and that we should
proceed
do as much as we possibly can for this evening. I would make a motion to proceed under the conditions that council has suggested.
It's an option one.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to second that.
Motion and a second. Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Corman?
Aye.
And I, too, vote 5-0.
What I would suggest, Madam Chair, is that when at the beginning of each hearing, we'll make that statement on the record as well. That way it's clear in the record. If somebody were to listen to the audio later, it'd be captured there. So we'll try to make note of that and hopefully make that statement for each hearing. So as far as this one goes, this hearing with Mr. Antonio, we believe had gotten all the folks who were here that wished to speak about it. I know that the board was looking at some of the variances in the neighborhood. I don't know if we've completed that review when this issue came up. That's where we left off.
So we cannot proceed with Mr. Antonio's tonight.
That's correct.
But we can't even close the public hearing.
That's correct. What we would need to do is leave it open and put it on the agenda for the 14th of September.
Okay.
And at that time, we would review any comments that came in. We'd have to give anyone a chance to chime in at that time.
So I would need
a motion. And I do... Just as an aside, board rules also state that redundant testimony can be limited. So if at that hearing we were to get repetitive type of testimony, we'd be able to limit that. And that would go for all cases.
Do I have a motion to
table and leave the record open?
I guess, yeah.
Yes. Second.
Aye.
Sorry.
I'll also state this, Mr. Corman and Dr. Carson, I believe that you two were not at the first hearing on this one. So we
need to go back and re-listen.
I think you would, yes, if you could go back and re-listen to that so that you would also be prepared to vote at that meeting as well, that would be great. And perhaps the motion should come from one of the members who's at both of them if you
yes,
wish
sir.
To withdraw your motion.
I'll withdraw my second.
That hurts my feelings a little bit. Go ahead, Mr. Williamson. I withdraw.
I will make a motion to leave the record open. Not to table, correct?
That's correct.
I'll make a motion to leave the record open for the next meeting.
Second. I do have one question. So we're leaving all table open, leaving all these cases open to September, right? So we're having cases behind that too, new cases?
Yes, I don't know if those have been advertised yet. Perhaps staff could address that. I know we have a meeting the following week as well. So I don't know where we are as far as notices going out. Mr. Whitehouse, do you know?
So notices, Ms. Paul,
okay. So what, Mr. Workman, for staff will do their best to reduce the number of new cases on that agenda to make it...
Split it with the other...
Yeah, so that those okay. new folks also don't have to wait terribly
yes.
long.
That'd be a lot better if you could...
Yeah, and the, fortunately, the board, I talked to staff earlier tonight, the board isn't scheduling, you know, months and months out. I think right now it's October, so if we had to move some cases back in the log there, they're not moving back too terribly far.
Okay, thank you.
But we'll work with staff to do that.
Yes, okay.
I believe you seconded Mr. Williamson's
yes.
motion. Thank you.
Motion and a second. Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
And I, too, so vote 3-0. This is nothing that you have done. I truly do apologize on behalf of the county.